Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
You found the killer bees. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Can the Texans win it all? 713-780-3776. Get to that in a moment. A couple of texts, though. It's your leader, fearless leader. Yo Adrian says, got into a fist fight with an umpire in an adult baseball league. Got strike three called on a pitch that almost hit me. He caked at me, throwing gang signs. Came at me, throwing gang signs. I told him, I don't speak mentally challenged, bro, and we brawled.
I'm glad he survived. If he's throwing gang signs and you're talking, oh, boy.
That's crazy.
Good luck, man.
Texter says, I lost an eye early in life. My high school soccer team, my teammate called me a cyclops, and middle of the game, I started rearranging his nose.
That's severe. That's harsh.
It was nice that Willie could text us.
Oh, damn it. I was going to ask you how many more eye jokes it was going to take for Willie to fight Jeremy, but Jeremy beat me to the joke.
713-780.
Willie, if you ESPN. Can attend the listener party.
Yeah, let's get Willie to the listener party.
We could get him
party.
In an Uber or something, right? In.
I said Uber yesterday, and I thought I was crazy.
What are you talking about?
Yesterday, I suggested we get Willie an Uber to go to St. Arnold. You're like, oh, you're making fun of Willie.
Yeah,
I think it was before that. I think
yeah,
we were mentioning that in the comments previous to that.
No. I
wonder
that.
If Willie's going to grade that joke.
That was a pretty good one, I think.
That one bad.
I like the one I had yesterday. Can't spell. Two eyes and Willie. That was pretty good.
Actually, was
that
pretty
was pretty good. That might be the best joke I've ever had. That's how good
it's
that
solid.
Was. I mean, a good. Like,
that was well thought out.
It was like a seventh. I didn't think that
Jeremy
out.
Jeremy missed one yesterday.
I didn't think. What did I miss?
Remember when we checked the call board? I said, do you see who's on the
I did
board?
Miss that. Yeah, I did miss that one.
And it was Willie.
I don't know why I make fun of Willie. It's messed up. 713-780-3776. Can the Texans win it all? Let's go out to Eddie real quick. Eddie, you're in the hive with the bees. Can the Texans win it all?
Hey, what's up, guys? It sounded like a good fight. I like the Cyclops story y'all just told. If our O-line is just average this season, we have a scary defense, in my opinion, a Super Bowl caliber defense. Our receivers stay healthy. Joe Mixon is healthy. I don't think it's inconceivable. I think it just depends on the O-line just being average. And I think that could just be enough. I don't know what you guys think.
Appreciate it, Eddie. We'll hold off on our full thoughts for a few minutes. But to what he said about the offensive line, mm-hmm. How good, 1 through 32, 32 teams in the NFL, how good do the Texans' offensive line have to be to have a chance? A chance.
Yeah, I think right around 20.
Yeah, that's about where I'm at.
Yeah,
I think if they have a top 20 offensive line, they could have a good enough offense with what would need to be a very good defense to have a shot to win it all. Like we're talking about a shot, like a puncher's chance. Like it's very difficult, especially the AFC.
That's the biggest thing. The biggest thing here is the can versus will. Can they win the Super Bowl with that? Yes. Will they? I mean, that's a different story because there's a lot to kind of decipher there.
I think a lot has to go right throughout the season, though, right? For, like, not just the Texans, but any Super Bowl champion. Like, anybody who has won a Super Bowl has had some breaks along the way. Like, mm-hmm. you have to be relatively healthy. You're going to probably win a game that you shouldn't win. Like, every Super Bowl champion's path requires enough health and then probably a game or two where you might – maybe a game. Maybe there's a game in the playoffs – shouldn't win. You get lucky to win that game, and then you win it all.
Yeah, we've seen scenarios play out where what looked like a stacked deck with a team that was the overwhelming favorite in a conference suddenly loses a very key player, quarterback or otherwise, and it changes everything and leaves it wide open. And like sometimes you just have to be in the right place at the right time to capitalize because you don't have the most loaded roster within all the teams in the league. It's just, and things can fall your way. We've seen stranger things happen. But you have to also stay healthy, too, and that's also been a challenge.
15th best odds, which, I mean, middle of the pack, plus 3,000 for the Texans. I actually kind of like that value. Like, I don't think that they should be 15th in the Super Bowl odds. I feel like they should be closer to the top 10.
See, Eddie mentioned the one thing that is the caveat that can be the cure of a lot of the evils that might ail, and that's the defense. If this defense is the best defense in the NFL or top three defense in the NFL, well, now you're talking about a game changer, because as wherever you might be light offensively, if this defense is not only dominant but scoring points for you and suffocating the other team, no matter how good they might be coming in, now you don't have to be prolific on offense.
713-780-ESPN. Can the Texans realistically win it all this year? Is it all smoke and mirrors? I think that they are a dark horse Super Bowl contender. I pulled some numbers for the last 10 Super Bowl champions, too. How good they have to be offensively, how good they have to be defensively. Can they hit these marks that feels like over the last decade is a requirement for a Super Bowl champion? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Can the Texans win it all? 713-780-ESPN, HRP listener line. Texter says they cannot. What was the movie with that one dude? Who was the main character in The Big Lebowski?
Oh, Jeff Daniels, right?
Jeff Daniels played in that Western movie, that True Grit.
True Grit, yeah.
And
yeah.
They didn't use compound words or whatever. They would instead of don't, they would say I do not know that man. So the text reminded me of that. Oh. Instead of saying they can't, he said they cannot. It's kind of reminded me of True Grit.
That's normally when people are reading a script and don't know how to put it in your own.
Yeah.
That they do the overemphasis.
True Grit's a great movie, but I love how they wouldn't do that. I did not know that, man. Can is yes. Will is no. Vegas odds, I'm in car, Robert in Beaumont. Plus 3,000, according to BetUS. Probably fluctuates a little bit. If the Texans had an O-line like Philly, they would be in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. They don't have that offensive line. Last year, the Lions had the best offense, in my opinion. The Lions couldn't get the job done. So, yes, if Texans is top, defense is top three, the Texans have a chance. Defense does win championships. Burrow had an MVP last year, didn't make the playoffs. See, I kind of disagree with that. I'll have some numbers to back that up in a little bit. I agree with you. The Commanders beating the Lions changed the trajectory of the whole playoffs and paved the way for the Eagles to make the Super Bowl. I believe that the Lions would have beaten the Eagles in the NFC Championship and then lose to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl due to Dan Campbell making a dumb mistake. So that's an alternate reality. They can win it all. They will win the all-important AFC South, which there was some AFC South news today. Daniel Jones, the quarterback in Indy. Texter says Texans won't win their division. Okay, if you're going to say that.
It doesn't matter, Brian.
You got to say who's
AFC
gonna,
South champions 2 years in a row,
gonna,
Brian.
Who's going to win the division?
Well, put your name on that one, too.
Yeah. Jeff Bridges, that's who I'm thinking of. Who did you say?
I think I said Jeff Daniels.
Yeah, Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Daniels was the Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Texture says, my goodness, the stupidity. Jeff Daniels.
I mixed up a last name. Forgive me.
Texans not win anything until CJ wears a bling Astros hat. All right, so I crunched some numbers. Last 10 Super Bowl champions. This is where I disagree with the defenses win championships, because there's actually been some defenses that are middle of the pack that have been able to win it all. I think you have to be elite on one side of the ball and decent enough on the other side of the ball at minimum. It helps if you're good at both. So last year, the Eagles, points four. They were seventh best in the NFL. They were second best at points allowed. So their defense was better than their offense last year, but they were both top 10. Kansas City 2 years ago, 15th in points, second in points allowed, which is kind of surprising. They won it on defense, but then, obviously Mahomes making plays at critical times. When they won it in 22, Kansas City was first in offense. They were 16th in defense. The Rams, 7th in points scored, 15th allowed. Tampa Bay, when they won it with Brady, were 3rd in points scored, 8th in points allowed. The Chiefs, the first time, 5th in points, 7th in points allowed. The Patriots, the last time they won with Brady, 4th in points, 7th in points allowed. Philly, when they won it with Big Nick Foles, they were 3rd in points scored, 4th in points allowed. New England, when they won it in 2016, 3rd in points scored, 1st in points allowed. And then Denver, with noodle arm Peyton Manning, were 19th in points scored, but were 4th best in points allowed. If you average it out, it's a little over 6.5 per point scored. It's a little over 6.5 for points against. So I think the Texans either have to be elite on one side of the ball and average at the other side of the ball, or they're balanced and have a top 7 offense, a top 7 defense. Which scenario is more likely? That they're balanced top 7 in both categories, or they're elite one side of the ball and good enough on the other?
I think elite and good enough.
I would agree.
Yeah, I think that of the two, I think the defense is going to be elite. And so I think that because there's still question marks, and I still have to see a regular season game where this line holds up and the fist is stronger than the individual fingers and all the things that they've been preaching, but it does look like it's given me more hope to see what this line has done, mostly because of the joint practice and also because of the fact that even in the preseason when they go to this lineup, it seems to be able to like sustain pressure.
I would agree with all of that. I think the Texans are capable of having a top 7 defense. Do you think they're capable of having a top 7 offense?
It's all hinges on that offensive line. I think that, you know, again, to the Texter's point about if you had Philly's offensive line, but no one has Philly's or Detroit's offensive line. It's going to be interesting because Philly's already got one injury on that offensive line. But I think that if their offensive line is able to hold up well enough, they have the weapons to be a top 10-ish offensive line. I mean, offense.
I don't think they can be a top 7 offense. I think that the offensive line is not talented enough. I think they can be scrappy and be top 20, and then the Texans' offense can be 15th best in the NFL, and they have the second best defense in the NFL, and then they can fight that way.
So there's no way they can be a top 10 offense.
Well, I said 7. But
that's what I'm saying. I lowered it to 10 because I said it could be 10-ish if line's capable of holding up.
I think 10 is their absolute ceiling. 10 is their absolute ceiling. I don't think they can go into single digits.
No, that's why I was saying top 10. I think that if this line sustains blocks well enough that you can get the running game can be somewhat effective, and at least CJ has time to pass the football. With Kaylee's offense, I think that they can get to 10-ish.
Kaylee going to be on the field, by the way.
I saw that.
I mean, does it
matter? That was breaking news to some people.
So the Texans in C.J. Stroud's rookie year were 13th in scoring. They were 11th in points allowed. Last year, they were 19th in scoring, and they were 14th in points allowed. Just for a little context.
Defense is going to be the one that would carry you.
See, I think they could have a top 5. See, I do think they're a dark horse candidate. In the scenario that I would paint for them to be the dark horse candidate, not that I think it's going to happen, but a chance, a fighting chance, a puncher's chance. I think that they could be the 12th, 13th best offense in the NFL and have the second best defense. Like, that to me is the avenue. That's the path.
It's Baltimore. It's Tampa Bay. But I think CJ's way better than Brad Johnson. But I think that because that offensive line is in flux and is still such a question mark until we see it, I think the defense can be top 3. I think the defense could be the best defense in all the NFL, and they could carry you. But I also think that on the flip side, I don't think CJ's a game manager. I think he's better than that. It's just it's the only contingent on the offensive line.
Would agree. Texture says the ceiling on offense is 15th. This is not going to be a great offense, just not enough on the line and experienced receiver. And if they're going to have the 15th offense, which I think is in play, I think it's possible. I think it's probably the most likely. I think they would have to have a top 3 defense to realistically have a chance.
Yes, agree.
CJ gives the offense top 10 potential easy.
I think it's not just CJ. You got Nico and you got really good receivers. And if Mixon, again, before he got derailed with injury, if Mixon can be anywhere close to what he was last year but healthy, regardless of when he comes back, now, again, it's all contingent on how that offensive line holds up. Because if it holds up just decently with all the weapons you have and a Kaylee offense that's not looking for all the home runs but really looking to dink and dunk and take what the defense gives you, then I think it's definitely in play.
Texter says DeMeco's put all the attention and the money on the defense. I don't think that's accurate. I mean, they use the number two pick for C.J. Stroud. They paid Tytus Howard, probably overpaid Tytus Howard. Obviously, they locked up Nico early. Christian Kirk's making a lot of money. I don't think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, look at what they spent draft picks on this year. Jaden Higgins, second-round pick. Ursary, second-round pick. Jalen Noel, third-round pick. Winnie Marks, fourth-round pick. Like, most of their draft capital in the upper half of that draft went for offense.
But when they were saying spent, too, that's Nick. But I think they've been very – good about evening it out this year, like you said, to concentrate more on offense this year as opposed to last year when in free agency they loaded up. They got Daniil Hunter. They got Azeez. They brought guys in on defense.
Texter says just wait until opposing defensive lines, start doing twists up front. I'm not being optimistic until they can stop that quote-unquote unguardable move. And that's a fair point. Like, you're not going to see a whole lot of that in preseason. Like, what does that look like in the regular season is critical.
It's the power of the fist.
Which they had a different look to the offensive line. Like, Cam Robinson was back today.
He was.
But he was playing with the twos, which $12 million for a backup left tackle. See, there's another guy that's getting paid. Your backup left tackle is making $12 million.
Maybe he doesn't want to go inside.
I don't think he can play inside. I think the best chance is him at right tackle. And then bump Tytus to right guard. But they apparently, Ed Ingram's playing well. So, like, this is a great problem to have. Texans have too many good offensive linemen. That's what's happening right now. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Keith, you're in the Hive. What's up, Keith?
Hey, guys, first off, thanks for the invite to the listener party. I'll do my best to attend. This is going to be a little bit long-winded, but hear me out. We're talking about Texans making the Super Bowl. First, they have to make an AFC title game, which they've never done in the history of the franchise. And in terms of the offensive line, if you look at the 2020 Chiefs who lost the 2021 Super Bowl to the Bucks, their offensive line was completely hit with a blistering amount of injuries, knocked out Schwartz, Fisher, and Osemele for the whole season. Three stalwarts on that offensive line, and they made it to the Super Bowl only to get destroyed by Shaq Baird and the Bucks in that game. So you can make it to the Super Bowl with a bad offensive line, which potentially could be what the Texans are looking at. And obviously Mahomes got destroyed in that game. The Bucks dominated. He was fighting for his life that whole game. So I think the Texans first need to focus on getting over the hump, getting out of that Saturday 3:15 game and making it to that AFC title game, and the offensive line will come.
Keith, did you say the Raiders against the Bucks? Did he say the Raiders against the Bucks?
Yeah.
That was the one where the center went AWOL.
Was it that one?
Yeah.
What was his name?
Barrett Robinson. Barrett Robbins.
He went to Tijuana,
not
right?
Not Robinson, Barrett Robbins.
Barrett Robbins, yeah. Yeah. Didn't he go to like Tijuana or something?
Yeah, I think so.
He just went off the
I think
charts.
He left the country.
That was so weird.
It was very weird. Well, I think he came out. He had some mental issues.
Yeah. But it's just so weird how it just happened there randomly.
Yeah, he was playing all year, and he was playing at a very high level, and then all of a sudden the night before the Super Bowl, he just vanishes.
I love how Keith said that the key for the Texans to make the Super Bowl is to get to the AFC title game.
That helps.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, without doing that, you don't have a shot.
I didn't realize the map. I didn't realize what it took. And we might have to resend that invite to Keith.
Yeah, Keith, come on, man.
Keith. I'll do my best. No, we're not inviting you if you're not going to be there, Keith. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Josh from Seabrook, what are the chances that Tay Ursary becomes Dwayne Brown reincarnated? I mean, he's willing to die for C.J. Stroud. He's going to die on the Stroud for C.J. in this Texans offense. I think Ursary's got a chance to be good.
For a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the fact that it's icing on the cake that he could be good this year is not something I expected. But at the same time, the fact that everybody you talk to says this guy is going to be a factor for years to come means regardless of how much you get out of him this year, and I do think he's an important piece now, but I think that the long-term future of this offensive line just got a lot brighter.
Unfortunately, this O-line will only take us to the divisional round once again. CJ needs to read coverages better. They're going to have to develop, there's no doubt. Texter says that Barrett Robbins vanished because he was involved with the cartel.
Oh, stop.
Cash or trash? I believe that.
He had mental issues.
I dabble with the cartels. I mean, it's no secret. I dabble.
Nonetheless, I think the mental issues are what got him to go AWOL.
Why do you think people that mess with me disappear? I dabble.
Who's disappeared?
Yeah.
We haven't heard from Lamont in a while.
You say
he doesn't really mess with you.
You put the cartel on him?
Who else have we heard from in a while?
Oh.
We haven't heard.
D. Coward D.
Coward D. Oh.
Coward D.
Coward D's gone. Long gone.
LMA Paul.
That lends itself to
MLA
it.
Paul.
Yes. LMA Paul we haven't heard from.
Messed with Cartel Branham.
Coward D.
Come think on of back. That might Cartel be a future liner.
I mean, why do you think Asmund won't ever show up this side of the Mississippi?
You didn't have a problem.
That was Granato, actually.
And me.
That was Granato.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to see Joel or
no,
John.
No, after the Red Weasel got him in his feels.
Who else has disappeared from the Killer Bees? Oh, Drift Bar.
Oh, wow.
Well, you don't think the Cartel Branham had anything to do with that?
R.I.P. Drift Bar.
They didn't give me my drink the right way. They put it on the right side, not the left side.
You're getting people off for that? Was this a blue M&M situation?
Cartel Branham.
You said, with
careful.
You said ED at the end of that, right?
What are you? I
didn't know what
you said.
Okay. Wait till the break.
Well, all right.
The cartels tell me to go to break. 713-780-ESPN, HR&P, listener line. Will of Bits is coming up next. Will of Bits coming up next. You never know what you're going to get. You just know it's going to be mediocre at best. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, guys, before we go to the break, you know what you're going to get when you go to Walmart. That's low prices and lots of selection. And right now, as well as you've known Walmart over the years, who knew that now you need to know a new and improved Walmart.com? And it is fantastic. With half a billion items available online, you can find a huge selection of items that you can't find in stores just by going to Walmart.com. And the best part of all this is, and maybe you didn't know this either, Walmart also has unbelievable selection of low-priced groceries. And the fact is, you can get it delivered to your door for the same prices that you get in the store. That's right. No upcharge just for having your groceries delivered. And that means it saves you time. It saves you energy. It gives you the ability with time to do other things. And the groceries are great. The prices are phenomenal. And it's all by Walmart, so you know you can trust them. Absolutely fantastic. You need to try it out. And by the way, if you want it even faster than just delivered to your door, like maybe as fast as an hour, they can do that too. But fees and their terms that apply to that. But the fact is, what I said stands. The prices that you pay in the store are the same if they deliver it to your door. And that is a game changer. Because now, from something you need quickly for a birthday party that your kids were invited to that you forgot about, to getting the groceries so that you don't have to spend time away from your family. The fact is Walmart.com is the answer. And it's not just for groceries. It's home goods, prescriptions, and so much more. It's all subject to availability, but the way you learn more about it is you go to Walmart.com. Because the Walmart you thought you knew is now brand new. And who knew it can be the answer to so many of your problems, including saving time while still always saving money and getting exactly what you want online. Check them out today. Go to walmart.com. Let the savings begin and let them deliver it to your door.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The Killer Bees are back, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great big food debate? The biggest Joel rant of all time? Jeremy trolling someone to the point of crying? Or just some actual bees making some honey? Well, let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this. What an enormous spin.
Let's play Catching a Stray.
What did she say, Brian? You were in my ear.
Catching a Stray.
Catching a Stray. That's right.
Like a sucker punch.
We've been known on the show to lie, cheat, and steal when it comes to Astros and when they play baseball. You caught it. Little Easter egg for you. The Astros will not begin at 5:40 today. They're not beginning at 5:40. They're beginning at 6:15. And this isn't a lie. Sometimes we lie to you. Sometimes they're playing in the afternoon. They're playing during our show. We'll be like, first pitch, 6:05. I mean, we're openly lying to you, and you know that. You get it.
Some of you get it.
Not all.
Some of you know that we're lying to you intentionally. Others, they get really mad and text us and be like, how do you – you guys are casuals and don't know ball. They think we're sincere. This is not one of those times we're lying to you. The Astros don't begin until 6:15 today. There is weather in Motown. Bad weather. 6:15, though, so –
And 713 who texted us, off to the game. Great show, guys. Catch you tomorrow. Go Stros. Come on home. We're still here. And you can catch the game at 6:15.
Mm-hmm. I know it's cheesy that Ursary said that, but I honestly love that he said that. I love that he said that, too. Mm-hmm. It's my kind of guy. It's not the cartel, but pretty sure Granato has mafia connections. Jasper, follow-up question, which is scarier, the cartel or the mafia? Probably depends on where you live.
Definitely stays connected during breaks.
What happened? I missed it.
If you get it, you get it.
I missed it. It isn't lying, cheating, and stealing. It's elaborating, collaborating, and borrowing. I was quoting Eddie Guerrero, but I like that too. Don't act like y'all don't know the bit ahead of time. That's fair. Hey, well, I mean, we're only looking to fool 10% of you. We're not looking to fool all of you.
Sometimes we fool more than we thought.
Sometimes we do. All right, so catching a stray was what it said.
Catching a stray.
Brian McTaggart buried fake beat reporters.
Wow.
Go Cougs. Yeah, he is a go Cougs. McTaggart tweeted on August 17, 2 days ago, Yordan will begin a minor league rehab assignment Tuesday at Corpus. A commenter said, had to make sure this is the real account before I got excited. McTaggart responded, real account, real reporter, not someone who pretends to be a reporter but has no credentials, and then smiley face. Wow. But he didn't do the smiley face emoji. He just did like the smiley face, like old school.
The old school
keyboard like a purist, like a journalist would do.
An MLA.
That was an MLA emoji.
But he guesses buried. Who he's taking shots at?
I absolutely know. I don't know 100% because I haven't talked to McTaggart between now and then.
So do I have to ask if certain people have their have a credential?
I mean, I'm 99% sure.
I'd have a guess it was someone
that does Schwab have a credential?
No.
That's who really? I thought it was too.
No, he didn't have a credential.
See, that's crazy because for the Rockets give just like diehard Rocket podcasters and such credentials.
Really?
Yeah.
No, Schwab is some people are. It depends on the PR person. I know some PR people that are pretty strict. Some are not.
Yeah.
But I'm 99% sure it's Schwabby. But there could be other people too. Like it doesn't have to be only Schwabby. Like maybe this sleeper Astros guy on Twitter that just like copy and paste all the news and like hey. But I mean he does give credit, I guess. So there is at least that. I'm pretty sure it's Schwabby.
Okay, if it is Schwabby, that comes off to me as McTaggart maybe being a little butthurt that he got scooped on the...
No, I don't think it's that. I don't think...
Korea?
I mean, maybe he is upset about that, but I think it predates that.
Oh, that probably so.
Because you would think that there are people in the media, especially back in the day when people were worried about who got props and credit for breaking stories, that the way he got singled out with credit at the deadline... would rub some people.
See, I know McTaggart and Chandler Rome have blocked Schwab on Twitter.
Oh.
Like last year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They're not a big fan of
I'm sure they didn't like it with both Rosenthal and Passan.
No, I'm sure
they didn't like that. Yeah.
But it does predate that. Okay. That could be true, but it definitely predates that. And, you know, you don't have credentials. It's hard to be like, hey, you know, this is what's happening with the team. Like, it's hard to know.
But it's also
like, you're not
tough
around.
To swallow when
are
you are a credentialed beat writer for a team and you feel like you're getting
scooped.
Scooped, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that does for some. But that was Schwabby probably catching a stray from McTaggart. And I'm pro McTaggart. Go Cougs.
He's a good guy.
Did you hear this little leaguer burying Juan Soto? We don't have the audio here, huh? They asked this kid like who his favorite player was, and one said Juan Soto, and then he went over to the next kid and he's like, do you like Juan Soto? He's like, he's over it.
Yeah.
Hey, Juan Soto's catching a stray from Little League baseball player.
Well, and he won the only one. I was telling you guys during a break that they had a female from Australia. I don't know if she was on the Little League team or the Little League softball team, but they basically were saying something about Shohei Ohtani. And she's like, nope, don't like him at all. And it was the kid reporter was doing the sideline.
That's crazy.
And she's like, what do you mean you don't like him? And she tells the story about her and her brother goes to an Angels game before he was a Dodger. And the brother gets a home run ball the day before. So they come back to get him to sign it. And she said, we were right there in the front row. And he gave her the stink eye and walked the other direction. She goes, I don't like my superstars to have attitude and be self-centered. It's like, wow.
I mean, where there's smoke, there's fire with Shohei, right? Like, I mean, how many things has he been involved in before we ban him from baseball?
Yeah.
I mean, how many things has got to be in before we ban him from baseball? Here was that kid throwing a straight Juan Soto.
Graphs or pictures you want to get of any players in specific?
I want to get Juan Soto.
Okay, all right. Juan Soto's a popular one. Misha, what about you? Juan Soto on your list as well?
He's kind of overrated.
Kind of overrated?
He's all right.
He's all right.
Cal Raleigh.
Okay, all right. You take an autograph from anybody there, right?
Yeah. Well, they went to the big dumper.
Went to the big dumper. Yeah, which that guy's a cheater. Torpedo bats changed his life.
Juan Soto, like, they were chanting for him to do the whatever he calls that.
The shuffle.
The shuffle. So he did
Soto
it.
Shuffle. Yeah. Should've does he not him, right? Does he not do that anymore?
I don't think he does it anymore.
I'm not sure. I don't really watch non-Astro baseball during the regular season. But yeah, I saw that he did that. I didn't realize that he had stopped doing the Soto shuffle. Some people find it disrespectful.
I was going to say, should have hit him.
Some people find it as a they're showing up the opponent.
You know how old he was when he was doing all those things against the Astros in the World Series?
He was, 19.
Well, that's Joe Buck.
Todd, the show says, Brian, going after Schwab. It was directed at Schwab. He specifically was pointing at non-credentialed guys. I've been to a ton of games, never once saw Schwab. That's not fair. I mean, he might. Schwab is not credentialed, but just because you went to the game doesn't mean you're going to see people that are credentialed.
But the other thing is, don't discredit him, because what it's even more credit to him if he's not credentialed and he's able to get credit for breaking the stories by having the sources that he's that he has.
Oh, he was saying though is that he's a real reporter. That McTaggart's a real reporter, not someone who pretends to be a reporter but has no credentials.
Okay, but I mean, the fact that he's putting information out there that hits is whether he's there's a real reporter or not, there's a lot of credibility.
No, he won a lot of credibility.
Honestly, it feels kind of soft for McTaggart to take the shot.
No, Cougars are soft. We're
I knew he was going to block that.
Feels pretty soft.
No,
pretty soft.
No, Cougars are soft.
Be a man, Adam.
Texter should have said something about the rain delay. Many might not have left your show. Come on, man. We literally brought that up at the
very beginning of the segment.
Press rewind. It's there. We began the segment doing that. It's a great idea, actually, Texter. You know, I'm criticizing you. I'm coming off a little bit like a jerk to you. You know what? That's my bad. You're right. That is a terrific idea. Terrific idea. A terrific idea we've already done.
6 minutes ago.
The last one that catching a stray. This is not really a sending out a stray. Maybe I'm giving this texture a stray. Sarge had a weird comparison the other day that I just do not see. Maybe y'all can talk me out of it, and then maybe I'll get the stray. Sarge says, he tweeted this out a couple of days ago. Astros right fielder Cam Smith has a lot of Michael Brantley in him to me if he stays on this trajectory.
Hashtag interesting,
hashtag Sarge. I don't see the player comp in Cam Smith and Michael Brantley at all. Michael Brantley was a low power, high contact guy. Cam Smith has contact, not to Brantley's level, but has like a tremendous amount of pop, hasn't put it on display this year. I do not see the Michael Brantley, Cam Smith player comp whatsoever.
See, that's the only thing I was going to say is if you assume that Cam Smith is going to not be a power hitter for his whole career, because of what he hasn't done power-wise this year from a home run perspective. But even still, Brantley still was double-digit home run guy. I mean, Brantley was still had pop along with a really good hit for average hitter and had a great eye at the plate.
To me, it's totally different profiles. Totally different profiles between Michael Brantley and Cam Smith. Like, Brantley, great plate appearances, great at-bats, high average, had some pop. Mm-hmm. Cam Smith is not the same player at all.
Might turn into that.
I don't see it at all.
Cam Smith hits the ceiling, he's hitting for way more power than Brantley.
Like he doesn't profile as a high contact average power guy. Cam Smith profiles, if he hits his potential, as an above average contact guy with above average power. It's a good power. Like trying to like be realistic about it. He's not the same player as Michael Brantley at all.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a tough comp. And I think that the only way he could have been, and I hate to defend him, but the only way that I think he could have been talking is the fact that Cam doesn't have a lot of home runs this year, and Brantley wasn't known as a home run hitter. He was known as a hit for average guy. But like you said, Brantley was a 300 hitter for the majority of his career.
Like, how many times is Cam Smith going to hit 300 in his career? And Cam, I mean, Michael Brantley.
Ask Israel.
Michael Brantley was a 298 career hitter.
Yeah.
Like, that's a high contact player. Cam Smith's going to struggle to hit 300 once in his career.
Ooh.
One season in his
career.
There's
three techs coming.
I mean, I'm sorry. I call
it. That was, what, up to 292 before the slide?
And Brantley was also never really known as a great defender. Early in his career, played a little bit of center, was better defender than later in his career. But Cam Smith is like going to profile into a really good defensive player with a strong arm. Brantley never had a strong arm. Like, they're totally different.
I'm trying to think of the other, like, another Astros outfielder I would comp Cam Smith to over Michael Brantley. Now, I don't think he's ever going to hit 40-plus like this player did one time. Oh. But what about Richard Hidalgo?
I was going to say the doggy.
Well, right Hidalgo was, I mean.
Right fielder, good arm.
People would say, not me.
Enhanced.
That Hidalgo was enhanced.
Yeah, Yeah.
That it was a
puppy at
first.
I'm just looking at the production, other than the 40 home run
year. I think that's a, like, I think from a player profile, like, if he was not enhanced, I think that's pretty good. I think it's a pretty good comp.
I think it's much closer than Michael Brantley.
No, that's this, that type of player. Like, good enough every now and then to have a couple of seasons where he hits 290. A couple of seasons where he hits 25, 30 home runs. That's way better than Brantley. Non-enhanced Hidalgo.
Yes.
That's a good call.
Yeah, like, from body type and everything else, I think that's fairly accurate.
It caught my eye. I was like, I don't see it there. I don't see it. Respectfully disagree. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Car wreck of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. We'll do that next. I want to remind you what's going on right now around the city. Some great times are being had. Some great food is being eaten. It's Houston Restaurant Week. It's going on now through Labor Day. Diners across the Houston area can enjoy specially priced multi-course fixed menus for either brunch, lunch, dinner, whatever, at nearly 350 participating restaurants. And all of this is supporting the Houston Food Bank. So dine out, do good, support the Houston Food Bank, support the restaurant industry in what's typically their lowest time of the year. You can check out all of the restaurants at HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. Car Wreck of the Day coming up next. Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Live in the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees. Now back to Joel and Jeremy.
Hunter Brown on the mound tonight. Best pitching matchup in the business tonight. Scooble Brown, first pitch 6:15. It's gonna be good. Hopefully good.
Yeah, I mean, that's a hell of a matchup. I mean, again, don't let it disappoint, but hopefully the Astros find a way to come out on top.
Yeah. Hunter Brown music. Texter Brantley's first couple of seasons was not a 300 hitter. Brantley's first season in the bigs hit 313. But he did hit 246, 266 the year after that. But he was still a contact guy. Brantley's worst year strikeout percentage was that year, his first year in the bigs. It was less than 16%. Cam Smith's strikeout percentage, want to take a guess?
25 plus.
30.
28. You're right around it. Not the same player at all. Brantley was a contact guy. Cam Smith is not a contact guy. Can he eventually hit for decent average? Sure. Can he add power? Can he have more power than Brantley? Sure. Is he ever going to have a strikeout rate of less than 16%? Never. Never. Terrible profile. Terrible comp. You don't know ball. You're casual if you think that's a good comp. I'm just having fun. Arias actually looks a little bit like Brantley from the side. I don't see that.
No, I don't either.
I don't see that. Acuna is Cam's comp, even down to the batting stance. That's not a good copy.
You just made the list.
That's extremely lost.
Acuna's a five-tool player. Cam, nah. Nah. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
I'll give you a you prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Car wrecks of the day. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What is your car wreck of the day?
Got a couple. Guy we talked about recently when talking about the Bills and their offense, wide receiver Keon Coleman, paid $50,000 for a new pit bull with a kennel. Somehow locked himself in the kennel.
Keon Coleman
locked himself in the dog's kennel with the dog.
What?
Last night.
For real.
Is this a DJ Swearinger situation?
This is, they had the video and everything, and he was waiting for somebody to let him out. Like, first of all, with those kennels, I could pretty much get out of it from the inside if I had to. But what the hell am I doing climbing into the kennel with the pit bull?
How old's the pit bull?
It's fairly good size. I don't know. Like, I would say probably 6 months.
That's rough.
It's bizarre.
Keon Coleman was Tiger, I Wish I Could. Remember that on, what was that on?
Was it on Hard Knocks?
I don't know.
Because they weren't on Hard Knocks. They're on Hard Knocks now.
Like, must be some rookie, like, path to the draft thing.
Oh, it wasn't the wide receivers
I don't think
documentary?
So. I can't remember what that was from.
I don't think he was on that one.
But you remember that when he was meeting with the teams?
Yes.
And he was talking to some team. He's like, you play golf? He's like, man, I wish.
Oh, was that
I'm not
the,
Tiger Woods. I'm Tiger Wish
Giants,
I Could.
Was it the Giants?
Yeah,
one,
I bet it was
when
the
they
Giants.
Were screening
offseason
Hard
Knocks.
You're
yeah.
probably right.
Because they met with Malik Nabers and a bunch of other wide receivers.
That's right. Yeah, it was Hard Knocks. That was funny. That's crazy. I didn't realize that happened. That's insane.
I'll find the video for you.
That's insane. Do you have another?
Yeah, Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham on a walk last night.
I kind of like it.
I know you would.
I kind of like it.
Bat flipped. And it created a bench-clearing scrum between the Blue Jays and the Pirates on a walk. He walked. He bat-flipped. He thought the catcher said something to him. He stopped walking to first,
turned and wanted some. No, he didn't think the catcher said something to him. He took it as disrespect that the catcher was arguing with the umpire, and Tommy Pham thought it was disrespectful, like Tommy Pham didn't know the zone.
Well, there's a couple different stories.
Yeah, you insulted him a little bit. You got a little out of order yourself.
Yeah, Tommy Pham didn't think that the catcher should be talking at all. The catcher
like a rookie,
said,
too.
And the catcher was like, I didn't say anything to him. I didn't say anything disrespectful. And then both benches went.
That catcher was terrified of Pham. Yeah. You saw the video?
As
you see the video?
He should be.
The catcher was scared for his life. He was like, I didn't say anything to you, and trying to hide behind the umpire. You see Ty France come in?
Oh, right away.
Ty France came in trying to be like, you know, peace cop or whatever, and Pham didn't really see him. And so Pham kind of looks at him and like looks like he's going to shove him, and France is like, oh, my bad. And then Springer kind of came over too. They're probably playing in the same fantasy league, George Springer and Tommy Pham. No one wanted to mess with Tommy Pham. I like that dude, man. I like Tommy Pham.
He's the fight guy.
I am a fan of Pham. Love that guy.
He loves to fight. Remember that?
He's so ready.
Remember when he got carjacked or whatever? Or he got jacked at his car in San Diego and they robbed him and he wanted the guy because he didn't want justice to take place. He wanted to mess the guy up.
He's psycho, man. Psycho Pham. I'm a big fan of Pham. Astros anemic offense getting shut out last night. Third time in four games. Embarrassing. They just need a lineup full of these Cam Smith, Michael Brantley types. They'd be able to score a few runs. And then Anthony Richardson, also a car wreck of the day. His career is not trending great. And then he literally got beat out by Daniel Jones. Vanilla Vic beat out Anthony Richardson
and
for the starting job.
The statement from Steichen is, this isn't a short-term thing. He's our starter for the whole year. So that basically shuts the door unless an injury for AR.
He said the same thing last year, though, when Flacco took over. And then AR was back like 4 or 5 weeks later.
Yeah, I just don't think he wants to think that – he doesn't want Daniel Jones to think his leash is short.
And he doesn't want to answer the questions week to week also.
Probably. What do you got, Brian?
So I don't know if you guys saw this, but Matt Leinart's son asked their Alexa to tell them who Matt Leinart is. And Alexa absolutely took down Matt Leinart.
Alexa, who's Matt Leinart?
EliteSports.com. Matt Leinart was a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback at USC and a top 10 NFL draft pick.
What?
But his pro career didn't amount to much.
Really?
And then it gets into the song.
Yikes. Oh, well.
Have you seen the trend going on TikTok?
Wow,
like these former players' wives? Or asking, like, do you ever wish you were athletic? And, like, the players, like, are losing their mind. What do you mean? I'm a pro. I'm an athlete. Been doing this for years. Alex, he's car wreck of the day, Sarge. For anybody that thinks that Brantley and Cam Smith are similar player comps.
Hashtag interesting.
Josh from Seabrook. Messing with the ESPN 97.5 Mafia Cartel. All this talk about criminal organizations. That's right. You don't mess with the Granado Mafia. You don't mess with the Cartel Branham. All right, what's winning? Target of the day.
Astros offense?
Sure.
It's a pretty good one. All right, that wins. Astros offense. Maybe we'll get them going. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for the hard work. He's blank on Branham. Keep it here. Best of Soccer Matters. Coming up right now on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.